So yeah, that's I don't know why people want a home Super Bowl team.
I don't either.
Eagles fan, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, because the home fans aren't the ones getting tickets anyway. These tickets have been sold forever.
Oh God, yes. You know, I heard that once, and that's like the dumbest argument you could make. That oh yeah, it's for the fan. No, it's not for the fans at all.
Honestly, and if my team's in the Super Bowl, I want to be at my house having a party watching it. I don't want to be in the middle of a stadium paying $25 for a beer.
Right. I haven't been to a game in years, and I don't really mind that.
I've never been to a football game.
There you go.
So, we have a good show here, guys. My name's Eric, as always, joined by Jason.
Hello.
Rick's in Las Vegas this week, so he's not with us. He's having a grand old time out there, though, I bet.
That bum.
He's having fun, I'm sure.
I bet he is.
Gosh. I have no interest in going to Vegas.
You know, I was last to Vegas about maybe 6 years ago, and I got violently ill. So it's not really a place where I'm dying to go back to. I got a stomach flu while I was there, and I was laid up in the hotel the entire trip.
Oh, man, that's a pain. Mm-hmm. Can't even play the shows or
anything. The One-Armed Bandits.
Oh. Or that white tiger. That's it.
Yeah. And Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah. I remember on the Rugrats, they went to Vegas and they saw those tigers. I think it was the Rugrats. Anyway.
What?
I watched a lot of children's television when I was a child.
Oh, you mean the actual show?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good show. Yeah, I miss those 90s Nickelodeon television shows. There were Rocko's Modern Life and Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy. They were all good.
Did you watch the new Rocko?
No.
I don't actually know if it's on yet. But there was a sequel limited series that was coming on. I don't know if it's...
No, it's coming. I don't think I watched it. Okay. I didn't watch it, but I know it's coming.
Okay.
So, guys, let's get down to our news, because we have actually a decent amount of stuff to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and actually, a lot of it's pretty good. One of it's really not. One of it's really bad. But most of it's pretty good. So, let's go. The 3DS is getting new Nintendo Classic games. So these are I don't know if they're classic, but they're the ones that are available for $20.
Yeah.
Instead of the normal 40.
Which games are they? I mean, I know there's Super Mario 3D Land, but what's the other two?
A Link to the Past.
Okay. No.
Not A Link to the Past. A Link Between Worlds.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And the Ultimate NES Remix. So that the NES Remix games came out on the Wii U, and then they ported them to the DS, 3DS. So that's what that is.
Right.
I already have two of these, so I mean, I feel like if you're a fan of either of these series, you're going to have these already.
Yeah, I totally agree with Mario and I agree with Zelda, but I think maybe NES Remix was a little, I don't know.
Hey, I never played it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So for $20, and it's the Ultimate Collection, so it's both of the original games. I'll probably pick it up. But
yeah, I guess so.
Pay $40 for it.
Nah, no. Not at this point anyway.
So, yeah, that's all I have to say about those.
Hey, you know what they should bring NES Remix for? Out of the Switch.
Ooh. Yeah. You know what they could do?
What's
and
that?
This is pure wishful thinking. They could do the NES Remix, but they could bundle it with the SNES Remix.
Oh my god.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I would be down for that.
It would be cool. I don't think it's happening.
No.
That would be fun. They can't do that.
No, come on. What are you thinking? There's cardboard to make. I know we'll get to that, but...
You know, I know... I'm fighting with what that is. I know I said a couple minutes ago it's, like, really bad.
Yeah.
But... And we'll talk about it when we get to it.
Yeah.
It's growing on me a tiny bit.
Oh, no!
Not enough to want to buy it. Okay. I don't want to buy it.
Okay.
But it's I didn't hate it as much as I hated it when I first saw it.
Yes. Well, I really hated it after you what you had prepared me for that the special announcement was going to be. So, we'll talk about it.
I thought that was super cool.
Yeah, me too. So.
And you know what I picture it? I don't picture them as like I didn't picture them as Legos. I pictured them as the Nano blocks.
Okay. Yeah.
I just put together an Eagles logo Nano block yesterday.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, my brother got it for me as part of my Christmas gift, and I hadn't done it. So I figured I better do it before the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, well, for luck.
Yeah. I also have to eat a pickle before kickoff.
Oh, I see. That sounds sane.
It's fine. I didn't say it was sane.
Okay. Okay.
You know what else is insane?
What?
I got a frog in my throat.
Yeah, me too.
These new Lego games that are apparently coming.
Yep. Well, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. Possibly.
Yeah. They're like rumors at this point.
Right. So do you want to run through these?
Yeah, sure.
I took the other one, so.
Yeah, yeah. There's two. So for people who don't know, there's a rumor that there's, I don't think it's a rumor that there's new Lego games coming. Because there's like 100 every year. But these are, actually pretty, pretty neat as far as Lego games go. The first one is Lego Incredibles 2. And that is allegedly supposed to hit right around the time of the movie, which I think comes out this summer. I think it's June or something like that. And it will contain the first and the second Incredibles movie. So you'll play through parts of the first movie with Syndrome and all that stuff. It's a great movie. And then you'll play through the story of Lego Incredibles 2. So that would be kind of cool. It's also, if it does get made, it would also be the first Pixar Lego game, which is pretty neat. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing a Lego Toy Story trilogy. That would be kind of cool. But, you know, this maybe paves the way for that and for other things. So that's kind of cool. And the second thing is DC supervillains. So exactly how this would happen, I don't know. I don't know what the story would be, but probably like a super frenzy kind of a thing with, like the Legion of Doom, that kind of thing. There's been no announcements at all. The story that we have up has a header from, DC Superheroes or something like that. It's got Joker and stuff like that, but that is not from this coming game. There is no imagery from this yet. There's nothing. So this is all just speculation brought by a source who reported to comicbook.com, which is where we picked up the story. So if you want to put stock in it, go right ahead. I could easily see both of these getting made. I'm not the Incredibles fan that a lot of people are. So I don't know if I would pick up Lego Incredibles, but I'm a big DC Comics fan, so I would probably pick up DC Supervillains. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, no, that was my first question for you, was how big of a fan of The Incredibles are you? Because I know you said the first movie was great just a minute ago.
The first movie was great, and I enjoyed it. But I'm not like, you know, I know people who are like, who were pining for a sequel. I never was. I don't care that much. I enjoyed the movie a lot, but it's not like, oh my God, The Incredibles. So,
right. I think a lot of people, and this is really getting into the weeds here, I think a lot of people wanted a sequel because of how the first movie ended with the mole man coming out of the ground and all. But that's neither here nor there.
The mole man. Right.
I would probably pick up The Incredibles just to play through it with my girlfriend. And I probably wouldn't get the DC one just because I'm not a huge fan of the Lego games at this point.
Yeah, that's the other thing, you know. I don't know how big a fan of Lego games I am either. I got Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 for the Switch for Christmas, and I still haven't really played it at all. So,
right. Know. And you know, with the Incredibles, they have a pretty good outline for how to make these heroes, given the Marvel Super Heroes Legos games. You know, you give right. Mr. Incredible like the powers of the Hulk. You give, I mean, there's no Flash in Marvel, but you give, you know, Dash the speed, and you give Mrs. Right. Incredible. What's that, the Fantastic Four woman who can stretch?
Well, you're thinking of the guy, Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, sure, him. So yeah. you got these archetypes already established. So all you have to do is put a Pixar coat of paint on it, and you're good to go. So right. I could definitely see this happening, but I'm in the same boat as you. I would much rather see some other Pixar Lego games, you know, maybe like a collection of shorter Pixar Lego games.
Oh, that's like, a fun idea.
Like, you know how the original Lego Star Wars games worked, where each yes. episode was a few levels?
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
you do that with Pixar. So, like, there'll be a Toy Story world, and you play through a bunch of levels, and then there'll be like a, you know, like a Finding Nemo level or world, or a Monsters, Inc. world. I just think that would be neat.
You know, that's a terrific idea.
Make the game.
Yes. Make this. It's time for another Make This Game.
Maybe I'll handle that this week.
Lego Pixar.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I actually would be more down for that. And again, I like The Incredibles. I just wasn't nuts for it. I have a friend who loved it. Like, was like, this is freaking great. But I'm not that into it. By the way, Lego DC Superheroes allowed you to play as the Flash. So that's already in there too.
Oh, I didn't know there was a Lego DC Superheroes.
Yes, sir.
I know there was the Marvel one. Huh.
Yep.
Well.
It was it wasn't that was the subtitle. God, what was it? Lego Batman 2 or Lego Batman 3?
That's and then quiet.
Yeah, and then the subtitle was DC Superheroes. And it had like they were basically the same thing as the Marvel games. It had like tons and tons and tons of DC characters in it.
That's cool. I never knew that because I never bothered because I'm not a huge Batman fan, you know.
Right. Yeah. A friend of mine is not either actually, and him and his son, I think played all the way through that game just because there were so many different characters in it.
That's neat. I might have to look into that. Do you know what console that was on? What platform it was for?
PS3 and Xbox 360, I think.
Mm. Well, there goes that dream.
And I think it came out for the Vita as well.
Oh, what? What is that?
It's this, like, handheld. Nobody knows. I don't know. It's a mythological handheld.
Moving on to something that people actually know about. Battlefront 2 is getting an update.
Oh, man.
And this isn't huge, but it's adding a new vehicle and a new map on Crate. So that's pretty neat.
Yep. I still haven't seen this movie, Last Jedi. Yeah.
Same. So. I'll be fine. I saw the post.
Did you like it?
Getting into the weeds. Incredible film. Ashley didn't get all of the historical cues of it. She's not into history like I am.
Okay.
But if you will live through this time, or you just have an interest in this era of journalism and history, it's super cool.
Excellent. That was Tom Hanks.
Yeah, Tom Hanks he's great, like always.
Yeah. Cool.
It's the only reason Ashley would initially agree to go see it, I think, because Tom Hanks did it.
Yeah. That's cool.
It was good. Anyway, Eden versus TIE Fighter is in it as well now, so you can play that if you're one of the people who picked up Battlefront 2.
It's very exciting. I didn't either. I would love to see the sales figures on Battlefront 2. I mean, like the holiday, you know, sales figures on it. I know it's probably not exciting to too many people, but it would I would love to see that, because I think that that would really tell the story of what's gone on with this game, how much it was impacted by all the bad press. I got to think a lot, but I'm not sure. I know it wasn't doing very well in the UK. I don't know about elsewhere.
I'm sure for the holidays, the bad press didn't impact it too much. You know, I'm sure a lot of people got this for their kids. Yeah. Or I know my one buddy who, you know, he's up on the news like we are, like with this stuff, and he got it for Christmas. And he was okay. Like, well, you know, I'm going to play it. But it wasn't something he was super psyched for.
Does he like it?
I haven't talked to him about it.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to say it can't be that good.
Yeah, okay.
Or else he would have brought it up to me.
You know what it is? And there was a lot of there was a lot of press about this. I remember when right before the game came out or right after. And this was something that was not a major deal for a lot of people, but I remember reading a couple of stories about it, was that EA had said that they think basically the single player linear game is finished. That's it for that. And they want stuff like this from now on. I actually think the exact opposite. I think that people are going to get burned out on, you know, playing as super generic characters, you know, running around just shooting each other, like it's in the Star Wars universe, but big deal. I think if there was an actual, maybe deep campaign, and you had a multiplayer mode with it, that's very different. This is a multiplayer mode with a little bit of a campaign. So I don't know, to me it's different even than a game like Call of Duty World War II, which is, you know, I mean, you could make the argument there that that's primarily a multiplayer game, but it does have a good campaign, which I've actually been playing and I've really been enjoying it.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm in total agreement with you. I think that narratives are what draw this industry forward. Narratives and single player experiences. Yeah, multiplayer is fun, but you can't craft the same experience in multiplayer as you can with a single player game.
Right.
I mean, and I know David Cage is controversial right now because of all the news that's coming out about his working conditions for women and things, and not condoning any of that. But his narratives are pretty, pretty immersive.
Well, you can't take talent away from somebody. You know, I mean. It is what it is, kind of.
Right. Right. My point is just that you can't craft the same narratives or the same experiences in a multiplayer environment.
Right.
You know, you look at The Last of Us. You look at the Uncharted series. Now, that's exactly what you're talking about. Deep single player experiences with a little bit of a multiplayer touch. Perfect. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, see, I think that's fun. I mean, that's a good time. And you have, like, if you want to stay with that game world and you want to play, you know, the multiplayer to extend the life of it, you can, and that's great. Or you could take a break from the story and just run around and, you know, enjoy the mechanics of the game and just, you know, shoot, you know, random people online and stuff like that. But to have a whole game based around that, and that was my problem with actually, not the old Battlefront series, because there were a lot of Star Wars games at that time, I believe, that were single player. So it was like Battlefront was the multiplayer mode, you know, for instance. But with the first Battlefront that came out a couple years ago, there was just no story at all. And I know Rick liked it, you know, he was really into it, but it I can't get with that. It just doesn't hold my interest. So, yeah. Anyway.
Right. And I know, especially with the first one, that game took a lot of, and it was a big time investment if you wanted to unlock things to be competitive.
Right.
So.
Right. And I'm not into that, so.
Right. Like, that's why I like, Overwatch is fun, because you can put as much time into it as you want. You're never at a competitive disadvantage.
That's great. Because,
like, you don't have to grind out weapons. You don't have to, I mean, yeah, you get skins and stuff, but that's, you know, it's whatever.
But see, that's the stuff like skins and outfits and stuff like that. That's fine with it. Who cares? You know, put that in there. Yeah,
totally agree with you. I'm 100% on your page.
I mean, that's the microtransactions that I think don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Even from that aspect, you know.
Yeah, because if you like the game, you can put money into it to customize your character or whatever.
Sure.
But spending money doesn't give you an advantage.
Yeah, that's it.
So, good stuff. We could keep going, but I think we're just preaching to the choir. I think anyone who's listening to this is kind of has a good idea about that.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Fable 4?
Oh, man. I would love it. If it was like the first two, I would love it. Fable 3. What?
What was your problem with 3?
You know, and I was talking with Aaron, who actually wrote this news piece. I don't have good memories of Fable 3. I can't tell you why. I just don't. I don't think I played all the way through it, which was different because I played through the first two. But I don't have good memories of it at all. I don't know. Maybe it was too generic. I don't know. Fable 1 and 2 I thought were really imaginative, really fun games. A lot of stuff to do, but not too much. I never felt lost or like I wasn't going to beat the game. I never had that feeling. So, you know, that was cool. Maybe 3 was too big. I wish I remembered, but I don't. But this is a rumor that's just popped up. And it is a rumor, probably more of a rumor than the Lego games that we talked about, because those I think have a good chance of happening. But this one is Fable 4, that Microsoft is got somebody working on Fable 4. Certainly not Lionhead, because that doesn't exist anymore. Let's take a quick look here. See if he talks about an alleged.
I don't see it.
Developer. I don't either. Forza developer Playground.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Perfect. You know, it's really good that the simulation racing company studio is going to be making this. That's
why I'm making my So I'm just reading this, and shame on me because I didn't read this article. We just talked about it online, but it's Aaron points out here that Playground hired staff for quote an open world action RPG not long ago. So
it's a Transformers game.
Oh, please.
it's Fable. It's what's the planet?
Cybertron.
It's Fables, Cybertron.
You know what? I was just thinking, this is really weird. I was just thinking about this the other day. There was a company called JGX. I think that was the name of it. I think they're still around, actually. Yep. Yes? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still around. I played a couple of their games, though.
Okay.
There was that... Oops, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say there was this game that I played when I was younger called Guns the Duel, where you run on walls and stuff and you had swords and it was fun. Really bad.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
That's okay. They had a Transformers game that I think I was working on at BG at the time. It may have been another website that I profiled it for. But I met with them at a Comic-Con. I think it was New York Comic-Con, and I interviewed the representative at length. We talked about it. They showed me a bunch of like images from it. We ran a bunch of stuff, and there was did a pretty big story on it. And I don't think it ever got made. And this was a game that I know people were looking forward to for a long time. And I think it was one of those things that just got delayed, and then canceled. And I don't know, for some reason that just popped into my head when you said JGX. When you're talking about Cybertron, rather, when you're talking about a Transformers game. Because it looked pretty cool, and you could like make your own Transformer and all kinds of stuff, and just never happened. But anyway, that's another story.
That's pretty funny. Poor game. That sounded like it would have been cool.
Yeah. This, I hope Fable 4 happens. I really do. I hope Fable 4 happens.
I was a huge fan of Fable 2.
Me too.
And then we all tweeted at, what's his name? To Phil Spencer. We all tweeted at Phil Spencer that one time to get him to bring Fable Anniversary to backward compatibility. And I think he did it. And then he did it.
And now he's gone.
So that was good. That was a good time. We got a pretty good Nintendo download this week.
Do we?
We do. We did. Okay. Well, still, all the games are here.
Okay.
So, Lost on the Switch. We have Lost Sphere. I don't actually know what this is. It looks like some kind of an RPG.
It's a game.
Yeah, it's a game. But we also have Darkest Dungeon, which is...
I forgot that.
It's a turn-based roguelike set in the really dark, figuratively and literally, world where... I don't want to really go into the story because it's a bit convoluted, but it's a lot of fun. I picked this up the other day when it launched. It's great. It's really stressful, though. Which I guess is the point. If your characters die, they die. You know, you have to level them up. It's really Lovecraftian in that their characters are constantly fighting against their own stress levels. So, it's really neat.
How do you manage that?
You have this hub. It's like it's a village. You have this hub, and the missions, the quests you go on, take place in on the weekly basis. So every week you have one excursion. Now you can give a character the week off, and assign him to different stress relieving activities in town.
Okay.
To make them less paranoid and stressed out. So like you can like there's a church and there's a tavern. I think there might be more that you unlock, but that's what I have now. And you pay like 1,000 gold to let them drink for the whole week, and then when they come back the next week they're a lot less stressed out.
Okay.
And if they get too stressed they can have a heart attack and die.
Whoa.
So it's not just some, you know, hokey mechanic to make you like stressed. It's they die.
Wow. That's extreme.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. There's a lot to it. It's meaty. It's a meaty RPG.
Okay. So. It looked weird to me that it was side scrolling. Is that the whole game that plays out that way?
Yeah. So what you do is you know, there's the hub, there's the village, and then you go into quests. And the way the quests work, there's a map. And it's kind of like a top-down map. So it's like you're looking at a Legend of Zelda dungeon.
Okay.
You pick which direction you want to move in, and then you walk from left to right. So, yeah, it's all like that. As far as I've seen, anyway. But there's no action mechanics. It's all turn-based RPG stuff.
Oh, wow.
So that's just the way it plays out.
Okay. I mean, it looks cool.
It's fun. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Neat.
Woo! Otherwise, the 3DS has Kirby Battle Royale. I'm not really too sure what that is.
I am not either.
I think it's like a fighting game of some kind with Kirby.
Sure.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is getting an expansion pass. Part of the first part of its expansion pass. Some new quests. Some items and stuff.
Are you getting this?
No.
Okay.
It took me forever to buy the Zelda DLC. I'm not buying this one.
Okay.
The Switch also gets Ambition of the Slimes, another Neo Geo game.
Exciting.
Power Spikes 2.
Now, I think we have Power Spike 1, don't we?
I don't know.
I think we do.
Wow.
I think we got that, so we got both of them. It's very exciting.
We have Baseball Riot. I don't know what that is. Chromagun, Obeak, Implosion. Oh, it's a demo for Implosion and a demo for League of Evil.
Exciting.
Nucleon?
Sure.
2-0, sir. Insult fighting games.
It's too bad Rick's not here.
Yeah, he was really a big fan of those when we first heard about them.
Yes.
Shu, SHU, Vesta, and then the 3DS gets Linkapix Color, and raining coins, whatever that means. Oh, and World to the West is also
World to the West, by the way, is really good. I reviewed that on PC, I think. That's a good game.
Now, is this multiplayer? I forget what you said.
Jesus, you know, honestly, I forget too. I think you could.
Oh, neat.
Well, I know there's multiple playable characters.
Okay.
Just trying to remember if you could actually play two player. You know what? Let me look it up real quick.
Nope. Is this game gonna work on the Switch?
Yeah. It's like a it's almost like a Zelda-y kind of a game. So it's like a three quarters view. And you're running around the map and you jump. When you unlock characters, you can jump from character to character around the map to solve puzzles and move the game forward. And, you know, you fight bad guys and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. It's a really fun game. It's got a great art style.
Well, that's awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Always like new indie games coming out.
Yeah, this is a good one. And I actually think the Switch is a fabulous platform for it. So
maybe I'll look into that at some point. Not now, because I have too many games.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But some point.
Yes. At some point. I will be looking into Double Dragon right away.
Oh, yeah. The Double Dragon Arcade Archive game.
Yes.
I never put too much time into Double Dragon.
I friggin' loved it. On the NES, I loved it. I don't know why it was such a desired game when I was a kid for me, but it was. I was dying for this game, and I got it for my birthday. My grandmother gave it to me, and I remember I left the table and went to play it immediately when I opened it. we were right in the middle of cake, and I was like, I don't care. And I went to play it like immediately.
Awesome.
Yes. And I spent like 20 minutes playing this game. Just had to get in a few minutes before I got back to my own party. But it was super fun. I loved it. However, the NES version is really different from the arcade version. Obviously, it doesn't look as good. And the story, I believe, is completely different. I think the NES version pits Jimmy against Billy Lee. Brother against brother. I believe Billy maybe kidnaps Marion at the beginning of the game, and it's Jimmy you're playing as all throughout the game to get to him. I'm pretty sure. The arcade version, of course, is totally different. There's a bad guy. Billy and Jimmy Lee are a team, and that's how that works. But this is the arcade version, and I think I have played this like, I don't know, maybe like a handful of times in the arcade. So I will be getting this, and I will probably play the hell out of it.
Oh, that's awesome. Glad to hear that.
Again, I have no idea what the attraction was for me with Double Dragon, but whatever it was.
Woo. All right, looking at our next story here. Now, you wrote this, so do you want to talk about this a little bit?
Battlefield 1?
Yep.
Apocalypse is coming. And I don't mean the big blue X-Men villain, but that would be kind of cool. This is the latest download pack for Battlefield 1. I, for some reason, am completely blown away by the fact that Battlefield 1 is still getting downloads, like major download packs. So I think this, however, might be the last one. I'm not entirely sure. The game came out, of course, a decent amount of time over a year ago. So I mean, it's pretty incredible, I think, that it's still being supported to this degree. It was, of course, a pretty good game. It was very well received. The first-person shooter, if anybody doesn't know. So this pack adds in a bunch of stuff. You get new maps, five new maps. It's all multiplayer, of course, representing, I guess, pretty big battles of World War I. I'm not terribly familiar with World War I, so I couldn't tell you, like, you know, if they are or not, but apparently some of these are pretty big deals. I'm going to kill this name. Passchendaele?
Correct.
All right. And Caporetto, which was in, I guess, Italy? I don't know.
I I don't know. I know there's an Iron Maiden song about Passchendaele.
That's really cool. Know. All right.
Yeah.
Neat. So these are supposedly two of the, quote, most infamous battles of World War One. So there you go. Let's see. What else do you get in there? You get, I guess, a new mode. Looks like a new air assault mode. Aerial combat, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the bottom line is there's new maps. There's new service assignments, new specializations. You can pick up some new dog tags. Lots of new stuff, vehicles, weapons. So if you are still playing Battlefield 1, or if maybe you're thinking I might want to dig back in, then you're going to want to get Apocalypse. That will hit next month for Premium Pass owners. When it will come for everybody else, I have no idea, but probably not too far after that. Right now, however, there is a trial going on. I believe it's still going on today. So maybe... Yeah, the 22nd. All right, so you know what? By the time you hear this, it won't be on. But there was a free trial for Turning Tides, which comes out later this month, right near the end of this month. So that kind of gave you a taste of that. But that's not Apocalypse. Apocalypse is next month. So watch for that if you are so inclined.
Cool. And the one that I'm very excited for, which... Actually, I didn't realize that it came out already. For some reason, I thought it was a week away or so still. And I'm probably going to pick it up as soon as we're done recording. It's Mutant Football League.
This looks great.
Yeah.
So it's out on consoles. It's not out on PC. I thought it was coming to PC, but it's not.
I thought it was on PC first.
I don't know.
It's been on PC for a little while.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay. Because the press release didn't have anything about the PC game at all. It was just, it said, back at home on consoles where it belongs. So, I don't know.
Yeah, on Steam. I see it right here.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'm going to see when it... But, yeah, I'm probably going to be picking this up. Playing as I don't even know. I've never played Mutant Football League, the old one either, but this just looks so cool.
It was Genesis, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what it was on. That's how new friend this is to me. But it's definitely out on PC. I see the Steam page here.
I am looking at the PSN listing.
It came out October 31st. So
okay. Okay, there you go. Wow, good timing. That was great. Yeah.
So it looks like there's demons and some other creatures. Oh, there's a sandworm on this map. Oh, I love sandworms. So.
Yes, we all know that.
So I'm really, everybody knows this already. I'm really hyped for the Eagles playing today. This is Sunday, Championship Sunday, that we're recording this. So I'm probably going to go pick this up and play it with my brother before he goes back to college because he's going back to school today.
Ah.
Yep.
It looks really cool. I might get it too. I used to love Blood Bowl, the old school Blood Bowl on PC, but for some reason I never played Mutant Football League. So we'll see.
This honestly just seems like an action version of that, where that's more of an RPG. This is action, so I'll take it.
You know what's kind of funny? I always wanted a more action-y Blood Bowl. So I mean, this would be perfect.
Exactly. And I don't know what the teams are. I don't know what the races are. I guess I'll find that out when I buy it. But
I think there's an orc team and there's a skeleton team. I don't know too much more.
The logos, I'm looking at a screenshot. A lot of the logos look like they're based loosely on NFL teams. Like there's the Deadlanta Falcons, it looks like.
That's cool.
That's cool.
You know, one other thing that I'm looking at it on PSN right now is the Metal Gear Survive beta is out.
Oh, is it?
It is. And we didn't run anything about that this week. I didn't actually realize it was out. But if anybody's looking forward to that, there you go. It's Metal Gear that's not Metal Gear.
That's awesome. I might look into that too. Just to piss off my friend who was a huge Metal Gear fan.
Yeah, I don't get this game. So
One other team I noticed is the Croakland Invaders. So this is cool. I got to find the Philly analog and kick my brother's ass.
That's funny.
Woo! We are moving on. That's it for news.
Is it? Oh, okay.
It is. Yeah. It's going quick today. Well, it feels like it's going quick, but it's actually been 40 minutes.
Wow. You know what's really dragging, for me anyway, is January, because it just seems like there's such a small amount of news coming out. Just killing me.
This is the slow period for sure.
Man, it seems slower than usual. Anyway.
Hey, quick question.
Yeah?
Quick question. If you get Mutant Football League, are you getting it on the Xbox One or the PS4?
You know what? I have to see where I have credit.
Okay, because that is a pretty big determinator of where I'm going to get it.
Okay.
I kind of want to get it on the Xbox One because then I could play it with Rick, too.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Maybe I'll just do that.
Okay, cool.
Maybe I'll just do that.
All right.
How much is it anyway? It can't be that much.
I think it's like 20.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to do that after the show.
Yeah, cool.
I have the Xbox One hooked up in the living room because I was trying to play Halo with my dad the other night.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. You have the beginning of Halo where you get your weapon in the first Halo?
Yes.
Yeah, well, my dad turned around and used it to kill the crew people.
That's terrible.
And then everybody shot us and we lost. So
that,
like that.
That is...
It was fun. We were playing Injustice before that. He killed me until I was Swamp Thing. It's good.
Are you good with Swamp Thing?
Oh, yeah. Well... No, I'm not good with him, but he has the one attack where he kicks the tree log. It's just a giant trunk of a tree. He just kicks it at them, and my dad couldn't figure out how to block it.
So you just spammed that?
Yes. Yeah. I beat me like 3 times in a row before that.
Jeez.
So.
Well, I guess you're vindicated then.
Yes.
All right.
So, we have a review. And I haven't actually read it yet because I'm a horrible host. Do you want to take us through this real quick, Jason?
This is... I'm going to kill this name too. Kashe, I guess? Kashe?
It's fine.
Okay. I'm going to call it The Deathless. So this is a book that's based in Mike Mignola's Hellboy universe. Comes from DC, comes from Dark Horse. It is a 6-issue miniseries, and these are reviews of the first 2 issues, that Megan actually wrote, for us. And, it follows the character of, as he goes through, hell, I guess. And meets some terrible former people and demons.
You meet some terrible boys.
Yes. No. Oh, terror boys. Just awful. So just very briefly for the setup, Megan says, borrowing from Slavic folktale, Kashe the Deathless tells the story of one of Hellboy's enemies. The comic miniseries is written by Mike Mignola and published by Dark Horse. If it's written by Mike Mignola, folks, and it's Hellboy, it is probably worth getting. It tells the tale of how Kashe became Baba Yaga's slave. Series is an interesting action adventure in true Hellboy style. Good dialogue, stylized art create a well-paced read, perfect for relaxing after a hard day of punching mythical creatures. So there you go. And to sum it up, it's a 22-page comic. Both issues are 22 pages, lots of action, art, and dialogue. Story is super entertaining, exactly what you want from an action adventure tale. She says it's perfect for a Hellboy fan. She gave it these first 2 issues, combined a 95%, which is pretty high. And, she is not terribly, as I recall, like overly generous with this stuff. So if she liked it, you know, it's going to be pretty good. So check those. I think both of those issues are available right now from Dark Horse Comics. And if you're a Hellboy fan, there's still plenty of cool stuff going on in the Hellboy universe, even though Hell on Earth has wrapped up. And I would say probably watch for tons more as we get into the Hellboy movie, which is coming. So stay tuned, folks.
Awesome. Now, leading right from a comic review right into the comic rack, you want to take us through this light news week?
I would love to. So it is a light news week. However, there's a couple that we can talk about. The first one is Frank Miller's 300 sequel. It is Xerxes, The Rise of Alexander. And that is coming out this year, I believe. Let me see when. I think it's the summer at some point. If you're familiar with 300, of course, while I'm looking for this. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's April 4th. The first issue comes out. So if you're familiar with 300, it's the story of the Greeks, the Greek city-state of Sparta, battling in a very limited fashion. They didn't have much to work with, battling the Persian Empire, who was pushing into Greece. So this is a... To me, see, I thought it was a prequel, and it was just about the rise of Xerxes, who is the king of the Persians at this point. But it sounds to me like it's both a prequel and a sequel, because it seems like it covers material, historical material that takes place both before and after the story of 300. So, which is based on a true story, by the way, if people don't know that. So I don't know, maybe it is. So, in any event, Miller knows what he's doing with this stuff. The 300 was a huge hit for a reason, was really well put together. The Zack Snyder movie, I thought was fantastic. I think a lot of people think that was a great flick. Even people who like to hate on Zack Snyder. I imagine there's probably going to be some movement towards this being a film too. And you know, if you want to catch it now when it's first hitting, so you know what you're talking about, probably a good idea. And it's probably going to be worth reading anyway, since it is Miller. The art and writing will be both by Frank Miller, which is pretty impressive too, because I've heard that, that Frank has seriously scaled back what he's been doing over the last couple of years as far as professional work. And so for the fact that he's back doing this, I think it's kind of a big deal. He's going to be working with his Dark Knight 3 partner, Alex Sinclair, for the color work. And it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. So I will definitely check out the first issue because I was a pretty big 300 fan. So check that out. April 4th is when it hits. Awesome. Are you a 300 fan? Did you?
I never saw it. Okay. Yeah, I'm not against it. Just never took to watch it.
It's pretty cool. If you like Zack Snyder's style, I think you'll like it. It's, you know, a lot of like big special effects moments, a lot of you know, impacty scenes. You know, like very artistically done. It's cool. I think it's cool. So
cool.
We had some Valiant previews this week also for stuff that's coming out next week. Not next week, but this coming week. In Exo Manowar and Ninja K. Ninja K number 3 comes out. That continues the story as we learn more about the previous ninjas in the in MI6's ninja program. Exo Manowar number 11 is a little bit of a bigger book in that it creates a new arc, a new jumping on point. This is Visigoth, which I believe is the last part of that big year-long Exo Manowar arc that started about this time, I guess, last year.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So this has Arik basically... He's been emperor of this planet, and now things are starting to turn the other direction. So I have heard that he's going to be going back to Earth, and there's going to be repercussions there where, you know, he was one of Earth's biggest heroes, and he just vanished. And now he's back. So I imagine that's going to be interesting to see where the rest of the Valiant universe slots him back in and how they react to him returning. Things have changed a little bit since he's been gone. So that should be interesting. That's January 24th. That comes out along with Ninja K, number 3. So make sure you check those out if you are a Valiant fan. And last but not least, definitely not least, because he's pretty big, is Hulk over in the Marvel Universe. So it's kind of been teased for a little while here in promotional materials and stuff like that, that Hulk was coming back. And although I haven't heard a definitive word yet on this, yay or nay, it seems like he definitely is back. And I don't mean totally awesome Hulk. I mean Bruce Banner, the Incredible Hulk. Marvel will be celebrating him, and I assume his return, with a series of 20 variant covers. Now, this is the same type of initiative that we've seen many, many times before in recent years with Marvel, where they do, like, not a line-wide, but a good amount of books will have variant covers all based on one character, even though that character doesn't appear in those books. So we're getting that same thing again. This one's got kind of a neat theme, though, in that each issue represents a different stage of Hulk's life in the Marvel Universe. So you have one with him versus Wolverine, which was Wolverine's origin. You have one of him as Maestro. You have one of him as Joe Fixit, the Gray Hulk. You have one with the Red Hulk. So it's all these different big moments in Hulk history. There's one with him fighting Abomination. You know, it's just and actually they're really cool covers. If you're a big Hulk fan, you know, honestly, that this is kind of a really cool line to pick up. I'm just looking at this. There's one with him as Smart Hulk. You know, it's just it's really cool. One of them even mimics the old Hulk cover where the logo is collapsing on top of him and he's holding it up with his back. It's pretty cool stuff. So if you're into it, I'm really not into it, but these are actually pretty neat. You may want to check these out. They start hitting on February the 7th. And again, there's 20 books in total. So if you want to pick and choose, you can go check them out on BG right now and see what the covers look like and see what you want to target to pick up. There actually was one more thing that I forgot to talk about, or rather that I forgot to add to the rundown. And that is that the Jurassic Park Pops are up for pre-order. If you're a Pop fan, and I am I against my better judgment, I have somehow become a Pop fan, and I've fallen prey to a number of these lines from Funko. They are little stylized figures. They're all made in the same basic design, but somehow Funko has seemingly captured every license and IP known to man throughout all of history. And that's not totally kidding, because there's Pops for like basically everything. But the Jurassic Park ones are debuting. They're going to be made available this year. There's a couple of them that are just super cool, including a pretty big 6-inch T-Rex. This is based on the first movie, so the classic Jurassic Park movie. And Entertainment Earth actually put them up for pre-order this past week, our good friends over there. And they have a special 2-pack, which includes a Dilophosaurus with the frill extended and Wayne Knight as Nedry with the Dilophosaurus spray all over his face, if you remember that scene from the movie. And he's even holding a tiny can of Barbasol. So this is something you're going to want to check out if you're a Jurassic Park fan. We have the link up. They come out in March, and you can pre-order them right now.
I really like the Jeff Goldblum one.
Me too.
Great.
If people don't know what we're talking about, it's Jeff Goldblum as Ian Malcolm from the scene where he's injured and he's laying there with his shirt open. It's ridiculous.
I love it so much.
It's fantastic. So that's actually a Target exclusive. So you can only get that one at Target. There's only two exclusives in this series. One of them is the 2-pack with Nedry. So there you go.
I was going to say, I hope there's a, because I hadn't actually looked at them all. I was going to say, I hope there's a T-Rex one, and there sure is.
Yep. It's the, and that's the biggest one.
Yeah. Is it one of the 6-inch ones?
It is. I'm looking
at it right now. Cool.
Yep. And there's, I think there's a raptor and a and two different versions of Dilophosaurus, unless I'm mistaken.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. I'm looking at them right now. There's regular Dr. Ian Malcolm, Alan Grant, John Hammond, regular Nedry, and then Nedry and the Dilophosaurus.
Yeah. I mean, so far, I mean, for me, I'm probably getting all the dinosaurs and Grant. And where it goes from there, I don't know. I mean, the rest of them, too. I find these things hard to resist when they're from properties that I really like. So,
would you venture to say that you will spare no expense?
Yes. Where's my bowl of ice cream?
Spare no expense.
A bowl of melting ice cream, so I can depressedly say that. Spare no expense.
So, there's been a bit of an elephant in the room since
the
a big cardboard elephant.
Ugh.
Nintendo announced this on Thursday, and they billed it as something for kids and people who are kids at heart. I'm sure you've seen the news by now, but if you haven't, Nintendo Labo, whatever, it's a system for the Switch of interactive cardboard. That's the best way I can say it.
You know what? You're on target, and that's what makes it funny.
So what you do is there's two sets. There's a big robot set and a variety set. And what it is basically is a bunch of model kits that will interact with the Switch to play different mini games. Is what it seems like. There's a piano. You know, there's a house that lets you play with a little critter. There's a fishing game. Rick and Jason were, and it sounds like they still are, vehemently against it.
I just think it's so crappy. And you know, it's one of those horribly gimmicky things. That's how it feels to me.
No, and I think that's very fair. I'm looking at this, and, you know, I'm a big, like, a 3D construction toy kind of guy. You know, I like Legos, I like Nano Blocks, I like stuff like that. The difference with this is, once you put all these together, where do you keep a bunch of this flimsy cardboard?
That's a good point.
You know, you put these all together. Like, the Legos look cool. Legos and Nano Blocks look neat. You can display them. You might look like a little bit of a child, but you can display
them. Who cares?
I have three architecture sets. And the Eagles logo and a Nano Box gorilla. So that's where I'm going with this. But no, for real, you can display Legos. You can display Nano Blocks. You can't really display a cardboard piano.
Right. Wow, you make a really good point. I didn't think of that.
Like, that's another reason. There was a rumor that I saw right before the announcement that said that this was going to be, like, basically Nintendo Lego sets. And I could have really got behind that.
Me too.
You can just, you know, those are fun. I don't doubt that these cardboard things would be fun to put together. I just don't know where you would keep them, and I think that the fact that they're basically mini games, the games would get boring real quick.
Yeah.
So.
You know, Nintendo has had not Mega Bloks, Kinects did a Nintendo series a couple of years ago. Well, I shouldn't say a Nintendo series, Mario series. But you know, Kinects being what they are, not that they're not, you know, not fun, but they don't have the visual impact when they're fully put together as like a really well-crafted Lego set. Or even Mega Bloks. You know,
Pokemon blocks are so cool.
There you go. I was going to ask you, actually.
Yes. Yep. Like the Pokemon Mega Bloks.
I have a number of Lego superheroes and Lord of the Rings sets set up on a set of shelves in my basement. And I actually think they look great. And I have like a handful of the Halo Mega Bloks sets, and I like those too. If Nintendo as a brand, And I don't mean like Super Mario, but I mean like as a brand. So there's Super Mario, there's Zelda, like maybe even less, you know, like lesser brands like Punch-Out. Lego sets based on those, or even Mega Block sets, I would be all over that. And I was really excited for this announcement. And again, I'm not blaming you, Eric, but like you had told me about the rumor before the announcement was made. And I was like, oh my God, I would love to see that. I was really pumped up for that. And when it came out that it was just a bunch of cardboard crap.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's mini games, basically. It just, yeah.
And here's the thing, you know, I'm sure that the stuff's fun to put together.
Yeah.
This isn't for us. You know, this is for people. These are for little kids who treat video games like toys.
Right.
You know, that's what this is. I don't think that's wrong. I just think that we have to understand that something that we can put together and display, that's for us.
Yes.
And it's just not.
Yes. So, I mean, almost like creating like a model kit.
Yeah, it's exactly. That's exactly how I see it. So,
I mean, you know, in the 70s and the 80s and stuff, that, you know, adults put together model kits. These days it's Legos that are, you know, and stuff like that adults enjoy putting together, you know, well, some adults, but this is like, I can't imagine, you know, I had, when I was big into like Rock Band and Guitar Hero, I had a hard enough time figuring out where the hell I was going to put my plastic guitar, where I'm going to put a cardboard piano and a little house. I mean, it just, and even the remote control, like little creature, whatever it is that you can put together. How many times would you play with that? Once?
I don't know. Ashley got me one of the Sphero BB-8s.
Yeah.
Like right after episode 7 came out. And I love it. And it's so cool to display. But I haven't, I've only played with it a few times.
Right. But it looks cool.
It looks awesome. I don't love it. And it's, right, you know, it's super neat. And you bring it out once in a while, you wheel it around, but it's not one of the things that you have out every single day.
See, I have something very similar to that. And years ago, there was a remote control, or not a remote control. No, I'm sorry. It was like a voice controlled R2-D2. I forget what company made it, but it was the same kind of a thing, but it was like, he kind of did his own thing more or less, but you could like talk to him and he could do stuff with you. I have him sitting next to my desk because he just looks cool. But I think I turned him on like twice. So with this, you don't even get that.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we just have to understand that Nintendo is a, you know, they're a toy company. That's what they come down to. You know, they make video games, but they view them as toys. And they make them like toys. That's it. That's not for us. You know, these are the little kids that put this together.
It would be interesting to see what kids think of this. I wouldn't even hazard a guess. I don't know if kids would be into this or they would think, well, it's cardboard. I mean, I don't know.
I think it depends on the kid.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, those are my thoughts on it.
Yeah. No, same. That's what I got. So what you playing?
Still playing WWE 2K18, unlocking some more classic characters. Still screwing around with the modes and stuff like that. So it's actually been a fun time, and it's a nice surprise of a fun time. I actually picked up Street Fighter V Arcade, which I am installing as we do this podcast on my PS4. So I will try that out hopefully at some point today. The download has taken forever, so we'll see where that goes.
Is that on PS4?
Yeah.
Do you have PSN? Or not PSN, do you have PlayStation Plus?
I do.
Well, let me know if you want to play some Street Fighter.
Ooh, do you have it?
I have Street Fighter V, yeah. I don't have the arcade edition. So I don't have any characters. I won't have as many of them. But I have Street Fighter V. I'll play Street Fighter V.
Yeah, I'm down with that at some point.
Cool. Yeah, I have an arcade stick as well. So.
Ooh. Now, do you prefer the stick to the pad?
I do. Okay. But that's because it's a long story. And
okay.
So, I am playing Pokken Tournament, which I went out and traded a bunch of stuff in and got that. And I'm playing Darkest Dungeon. And that's basically it right now.
Let me ask you a question about Pokken. Now, you played both versions, right?
Correct.
Any huge differences?
No. There's okay. a couple of modes. There's like a daily challenge mode, and there's ranked online. And of course, it's on the Switch, so you can take it wherever you want with you. The yeah. biggest change is there's 5 new characters, and there are a few, I'm not sure exactly how many, but new support sets.
That's a lot of new characters.
Yeah, no, and they're all really different. And they're all, I was pretty happy to see all of them in there.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Pretty fun. I'm enjoying cool. it.
Oh, and I'm still playing World War II, Call of Duty World War II. Forgot about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's to go back to what I was saying before, actually, just very, very quickly on that. The characters, when I said it has a good story mode, the story is good. And some of the characters are actually pretty cool, but a lot of them are just really kind of, let's say, typical gotcha. For games like this. So, yeah.
Right.
Just to temper anybody who might be thinking, wow, okay, it's got a great story. It's okay. But, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'll snapshot it.
No, that's actually not a bad idea either. It's been out for a little while, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah. I think that just about wraps it up, guys. Well, guys.
Guy.
It's been a long show, actually. An hour, a little over an hour.
That's a lot. That's all that freeform chatting that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm going to go right now download Mutant Football League. So
enjoy.
I might do a snapshot of that.
Oh, cool.
So, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, this is Eric and Jason.
Yes.
And thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
See you. Bye.